740-383-9944.
Hey, here we are in Swap Shop. But with the coronavirus and with spring just popping its head up, we are not doing a whole lot of swapping because we really don't want you to go over to other people's houses and, you know, spread it around. So we'd love to have you hang in there with us for another month or two, and we will try to get Swap Shop back and working well. But I'm keeping that theme song because I know Charlie hates it and he's listening. So that's why I'm doing that. Hey, we had a good show this morning. Scott and I talked about everything under the sun and most of the things that I knew nothing about. So had a good time. Hey, today I'm going to talk about April showers bring May flowers. And I was a Mayflower. Well, anyway, I was brought around May 27th was my birthday. And by the way, I will give you address to send presents to later. Not really. All right. You know, I did find out when I was a kid, I loved spring. Spring is my favorite time of the year. And I especially love this time of spring when the daffodils start popping up and the crocuses have already been up for a little while and tulips will start to raise their heads and that sort of thing. And I love it because it renews your spirit. Things are coming back alive, and God knows that we need some renewal of our spirits right now with this terrible virus rampaging its way across the globe. So today I thought I'd talk about flowers. As a kid, I found out which flower you shouldn't eat. And I also found out there are several flowers that you shouldn't eat, but the one that I found out firsthand as a kid, I must have been under 10, I would guess, maybe right around 10. I went out in my mother's backyard. We lived in the parsonage, and there were people that would plant spring flowers for us, and there were iris out in the backyard. Now, they were pre-planted years before, and they were growing up from bulbs, but it was a pretty flower. You got to admit, an iris is a good, handsome-looking flower. And so I thought, well, I'll go eat that. Don't eat iris. Iris are very bad for you. It gave me heartburn. It gave me nausea. It was just bad. I thought I was going to croak right then and there. And I'm happy I got through that episode. But there are several plants that you shouldn't eat. And now I'm, of course, forgetting them. Plants that you shouldn't eat. I looked up several of them, and there are lots of them. Well, you know you shouldn't eat the leaf of rhubarb. You know that, so don't do that. Be very careful if you're out in the woods picking up mushrooms, because there are all sorts of mushrooms that mimic the look of another mushroom, and some of them are safe and some of them are not. So I would strongly suggest you not eating mushrooms unless you really, really know what you're doing. And even then, I think you can make a mistake, so let's not do that. Hey, here's the first question of the day, and I'm going to give you three answers, and we'll let you figure out which one is correct. All right? If you'd like to call in, you can, but this isn't really like the show, the past show. I'm not discouraging call-ins, but I only have two hands to work with, and it makes it a little tough for me to answer the phone, hold my phone. Oh, well, anyway, which unusual flower is pollinated by gnats and the larva of thrips? I think that's the way you pronounce it. T-H-R-I-P-S. Thrips. I've never heard of a thrip, but I do know what a gnat is, and I know what larva is. Which unusual flower? Okay, I'm going to give you three choices. I'll give you about 5 seconds to think about it. You can argue with your significant other, or if Emma is still listening, you can argue with your grandmother about this. Which unusual flower is pollinated by gnats and the larva of thrips? Is it a pussy willow? Is it a wood anemone? Is it a jack in the pulpit? I used to love the pussy willows that we had. They seemed to grow, I think, in kind of marshy areas. And we had a marshy area behind one of our houses, and we had lots of pussy willows that grew out there. Okay, you ready for the answer? It's not the pussy willow. Jack in the pulpit. I tried to grow Jack in the pulpit because I was, somebody told me they liked shade. And when I lived in Athens, our house had a lot of shade. We had a big house and we had a giant pine tree that grew next to the house, and it shaded an awful lot of the area. And so I tried to grow Jack in the pulpits underneath that. They may not like the acid soil that a pine tree will give them, because they did not grow at all. But I really loved Jack in the Pulpit. And I guess being a minister's kid, I like the idea that Jack was in a pulpit, you know, like a minister. But I did later, I was able to buy a Jack in the Pulpit and put it in one of my yards. And I think they must be perennials, because I got several of them the next year and kept on growing. And that was good. We kind of liked them. And then we moved from that house. So, okay. Are you out and about? You know, that's something you can do during this virus. You can go out and... you know, as long as you stay away from people, you can go out and do your gardening. And I've already planted, what have I planted? I've already planted lots of seeds in my basement under my grow lights. But I have also planted outside some early things like leeks and lettuce and what is the name of the white cabbage? Chinese white cabbage, whatever that's called. I forget. Anyway, let's see. Jack in the Pulpit has an odd name and is indeed pollinated by gnats. How annoying, it says here. It is a tuberous perennial. Oh, yes, it tells me it's a perennial. And it's also known as Indian turnip. That's kind of interesting. I wonder why. Maybe it's because it grows up from a bulb, and maybe it looks a lot like a turnip. They can live, get this, they can live 20 to 100 years. And the sex of the flower on a single plant can change from year to year. Kind of strange, right? And, you know, plants need to have little boys and little girls as well. Some plants are both little boys and little girls. All right, that's our first question. We successfully killed about 8 minutes on that one. I think I have about 20 questions I'm going to ask you, and see if you can guess it before your significant other or grandchild or child or whatever is in the house with you. And I hope you're all staying safe and healthy. Just for your information, I just sprayed down everything here at the radio station. I'm surprised Scott doesn't throw me out, because I spray everything when I come in here. Which flower is symbolic of our first emotions of love? Ooh, that's kind of a heavy question. Which flower is symbolic of the first emotions of love? And I've got three answers here. Is it the purple lilac? Is it the orange lily? Or is it yellow jasmine? Oh, I love the smell of jasmine. It's one of those three: purple lilac, orange lily, or yellow jasmine. I've got a call, and I'm going to take this call because they may have the answer. What do you think?
Caller, you're on the air. Hello? You're on the air. All right. Apparently, I didn't hit the right button, or I missed the caller.
You're welcome to call back. I'm going to turn it off so that I know what we're doing here. Which flower is symbolic of the first emotions of love? Purple lilac, orange lily, or yellow jasmine? I was going to ask you if you've ever driven down to Florida I'd say driven to Florida, because if you fly to Florida, you don't smell the orange trees. You smell the jet fuel. Orange trees, they are terrific. Certain times of the year, if you drive through Florida, it'll just send you into ecstasy. Well, anyway, the flower which is symbolic of the first emotions of love, and I have no idea. I'm hoping that it'll tell me down here. Yes, it does. The correct answer is purple lilac. Purple lilac. I'm not a big purple fan. My wife loves purple flowers, so we have a lot of them. If mama's happy, everybody's happy, right? And we have a lot of purple flowers. Purple lilac is the plant that's symbolic of the first emotions of love. I would have thought it would have been something pink, but I'm wrong. In Victorian times, culture was focused on symbolism, and flowers played a large part in that. Did you know that? There were several colors of lilacs. The purple variety symbolizes the first emotions of love. Whew, that is heavy. So be sure to include that in a corsage for your prom date, it says. Skip the orange lily, which symbolizes hatred and dislike. Orange, huh? All right. That's good to know. I will make sure I don't send orange flowers to my wife. She would never, ever let me live that down. What else? I'm going to plant. Everybody plants tomatoes and does really well with tomatoes. I don't. I get a few, but I don't get a lot. So obviously I'm doing something wrong. I don't know. I think I get enough sunlight in the... I have three gardens. Two of them are raised, and one of them's in the ground. Two of them are on the north side of my property. Now, I have trees, big, huge pine trees that line the east side of my yard, and they kind of hold the sun back for until about 9 o'clock, and then we get sun for 6 to 8 hours on most of my property. So I'm guessing maybe I don't have quite enough sun to grow a lot of tomatoes. Now, I've been told that tomatoes like really hot weather, 80s up to 90, that type of thing. And maybe they get enough shade that the whole backyard doesn't get as hot as all that. I think it does. I think I'm just a terrible gardener. All right. Which flower does Prince Charles collect as rent for the Isle of Scilly? Which flower does Prince Charles collect as rent for the Isles of... Is it either Scilly or Scilly? I can't even say the question. How in the world are you going to answer? Well, let me give you the three choices, okay? English rose, iris, or daffodil? Which one of those three things? Now, we've already talked about the iris and how it can cause you great digestive consternation. Didn't talk about the English rose. I'm not quite... Is that little tiny rose, or is the English rose the big red one? Anyway, and also daffodils, which we're all seeing right now. Oh, aren't the daffodils beautiful now? It must have been something with the weather that the daffodils popped up fast And there are lots of them out there right now. I love daffodils. I usually snip one off in my yard and take it in and give it to my wife. She's kind of a sweetie, so I give her a daffodil, and that makes Mama stay happy. All right. Well, let me give you the answer to that. Did you get it? Do you think you know the answer? That's kind of sneaky. It says... there are no tenants on the Isle of Scilly, but the local environment trust still pays one in daffodils, according to Prince Charles, as rent for the lands. Daffodils. And it says still pays one daffodil. Maybe it's the one I give my wife. Well, she ought to be happy. She gets paid the same amount as... Prince Charles gets paid. One silly daffodil. You know, there are so many different types of daffodils. They're, you know, the ones that have two or three rows of petals on the back, and there are really long ones with really long trumpets out the front, and there are several different colors of them. There's nothing not to like about a daffodil. That's why I give it to my wife. I know. I'm kind of a romantic. If you'd listen to the music I listen to, and I listen to music all the time, if you'd listen to the music I listen to, you would see what a romantic person I am. And my romance does not come from mushy words to women. My romance comes from kindness in the lyrics, kindness for each other. And I don't know. Not that you care, right? All right, here's another question. We're talking about April showers bring May flowers. Now, April showers did not bring me. The end of the Victory in Japan Day is what actually brought me. My father told me, so I believe it. He said that was the day. And if you check out, I was born on May 27th. That's roughly 9 months after Victory in Japan Day. Anyway, and no, my dad wasn't that guy kissing the girl down on Times Square. which plant names come from the English word dosage, meaning day's eye? I guess I pronounced that right. Dosage. D-A-E-G-E-S-E-A-G-E. It's not dressage. Anyway, the words, the plant comes from the English word which means day's eye. That should give you a pretty good hint. Okay, is it dahlia? Is it daisy? Or is it dogwood? And I love dogwood. Do you love dogwood? I love dogwood. My father used to have a sermon about the dogwood tree. You know, the dogwood has four petals. And in the corners of each of the petals, there's a little red dot. Not a dot, kind of a... well, let's just call it a dot for lack of a better term. And that was supposed to signify the nails in the hands and the feet and the blood from the nails in the hands and the feet and the thorn the crown of thorns. And Dad used to do a sermon about the dogwood. So every spring when the dogwood started popping up, I was keenly aware that they were out there, because we'd go for a ride and Dad would point out that's a dogwood and that's a dogwood and that's a dogwood and that is not a dogwood because that's pink or that's purple. I love the colors in spring. Anyway, which plant names come from the English word which means day's eye? Is it dahlia, dogwood, or daisy? Well, let's roll the phone and see what it says. You know, 75% of the people got this right. It even tells me how many people got this right, which implies how many I got wrong, because I had no idea. The daisy is a shortened version of day's eye. That's what it is. It's the daisy. And it was named this because the flower's yellow center looks like the sun. Well, we have a phone call. Let's answer the phone.
Hello, you're on the air. This is Glenn. How can I help you?
Daisy.
Yeah, you got it right. It is daisies. I had just sneaked that answer out, but since you're listening on a 30-second delay, you probably didn't hear that. All right, it is Daisy. Thanks a lot for your answer. Have a good day. Yep. Stay healthy. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. Great to have somebody know the answers. Make sure I drop off that that phone. I think that might have been Emma calling. Scott and I have gotten to be friends with an awful lot of people. We had 30 phone calls. We answered 30 questions this morning in the 2 hours that Scott and I were doing our show. And I call it our show. It is our show until Charlie gets back. Charlie's been off a bit because of a wounded wing, and he's getting better as we're speaking. And anyway, 30 questions were answered. That means there were probably 40 or 50 calls that came in. You know, another thing that was exciting, he got a text from a company that surveys the number of people that are watching or listening to your show, and we are in the range of 10,000 people. Can you believe that? And I said to Scott, I think the reason why we've jumped up so much is that, you know, what else do you have to do when you have to stay at home? There are a lot of people watching a lot of old shows, old television shows on TV right now. I'm surprised we didn't have more questions answered because of all the old TV shows that people are watching. My wife and I watch a show called Doc Martin, and it's one of those British shows. We really love that, and he is always getting in trouble and sticking his foot in his mouth with his we're in season 7, and he now has a wife who has left him and he sticks his foot in his mouth all the time. He's not a very socially adept doctor. We love that show, but all right, here's the next question. Get your thinking caps on. And yes, I believe it was Emma was correct. Answer to the last question, which name comes from the English word that means day's eye? And the answer was daisy. It's shortened version of the word daisy. All right, here's one. Which flower has varieties that include triumph, frigid, and parrot? Oh my. Triumph, frigid, and parrot. That's kind of, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to give you the three answers that they're posing. And let's say rose, lily, or tulip. Those are the three answers: rose, lily, or tulip. Which flower has varieties that include triumph, frigid, and parrot? And the reason why I think I knew the answer to that is parrot kind of gave it away to me. My father loved this particular flower as a parrot. Okay, we got another answer. Let's see what our caller has. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Before you name those three flowers, I was going to guess tulip.
Oh, well, you are absolutely correct. It is a tulip. And what gave that away? Did you know what a parrot tulip was?
Well, I'd heard of those before, yeah.
Okay, I had never heard of a fringed or a triumph tulip, but I had heard of a parrot tulip. Well, thanks for calling.
No problem.
You're smarter than the average bear.
you were talking about the old shows. I've been busy watching the Dark Shadow series.
Oh, is that on? Oh, my.
Well, I get it on my Roku. It's on Tubi, the Tubi app on Roku, and okay. You can watch every one of them.
I'll be darned. That was kind of a scary fun.
show. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great to start it at the very first one and watch through.
Yeah, you really do need to know the chain of things. And I did, that was one of the, I guess you'd call it a soap opera. That was one of the soap operas I did watch.
Yeah, it used to be on every day.
Yep, it was. Yeah, and scary and fun, too. Well, thanks for calling in.
I got rid of my cable TV, and I bought one of them Rokus, and I got more TV to watch than I ever had before.
Well, we did the same thing, you know. We went to streaming instead of buying the cable, and now my wife complains that there's too much on there.
Yeah.
You can't make a choice.
Yeah. It's all free.
Absolutely. Well, it's not free because you have to pay for the service.
Well, yeah. The Roku box, I think, was something like $40.
Yeah.
At Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
all right, thank you.
We got to find ways to save money and stay safe. Have a good day. Thanks for calling in. Bye bye.
Yeah, we got smart people that listen to our show. And not necessarily my show, but we have smart people that listen to all of our shows. Can you believe 10,000 people listen to our shows? There are only 65,000 people in the entire county. And quite frankly, we pretty much only cover the county. Now, I know there are days that you can get it down into Union County a little bit. But most of the time, it's just Marion County. And it's almost like I used to, when I was running for office, Union County was in my district. And it was almost like when I went across the border into Union County, this station kind of went bad. Anyway, all right, let's check the next question out. Which state chose the dogwood as its state flower? I think there are probably more than one state. I know of one that isn't listed among these three. Okay, but which one of these three uses the dogwood as its state flower? South Carolina, North Carolina, or Virginia? All of them out on the east side of the country, and they all have dogwoods running rampant in their woods out there. That's a kind of a beautiful thing. My daughter lives in North Carolina, and one of the things that's fun is when we go over to North Carolina, if we go in the spring, you'll quite often see lots of flowers, and many of them, they have daylilies that they grow on the road. Here we've got another caller. Let me get to him. Hang on.
You're on the air. How can I help you?
North Carolina.
You got it. North Carolina has the dogwood as its state flower. Did you look that up? It's okay if you did. That's how we're playing the game, right? Is this Emma?
Oh, did I lose you? I must have lost her. All right. We had a great answer there. It was North Carolina. North Carolina has dogwood as its state flower, and it is a beautiful flower. It's very simple, very sweet looking, it's four petals tipped with a little red on each one of them, and a beautiful eye in the middle of it. It's a a proliferation of buds on dogwood trees in the spring. All right. Let's see what it says, the answer. The flower is found all over southern U.S., but North Carolina claims it as its own, and dogwood trees are known for their beautiful spring blossoms. There's white, and there is a pink variety. And you know what? It says southern, but I know darn well that Ohio has a dogwood. Now, maybe they're not native to this area, but we have dogwood. I've seen lots of dogwood trees out in the woods, maybe in the southern part from here south. I don't know. I really haven't paid much attention as I've headed north up towards Lake Erie. Only 35% of the people got that question right that took that. So our caller got it right and was perfect. All right. here's one of those plants I believe was one of the ones that is poisonous if you eat it. I'm pretty sure this is one of them. Oh, and I also know that red plant, azalea. Azalea is poisonous if you eat it. But don't eat a hyacinth. Where does the hyacinth get its name? That's a good question. But don't eat it. It'll either make you sick or make you dead. I'm not sure which, but I know that it's listed as one of the ones that is detrimental to your health. All right. Okay, I'm going to give you three answers here. You ready? Where does the hyacinth get its name? Does it get its name from somebody's grandma? And I know there are a lot of grandmas named Hyacinth. Does it get it from the Dutch word for star? Or does it get it from a Greek myth? Those are the three answers. I'll give you a few seconds to argue with whoever you're listening with, and hopefully you'll come up with the right answer. I will, let me get down here, and it tells me what the answer is. It says 60% of the people that took this test got it right. It is hyacinths. They get their name from a character in Greek mythology. I have no idea. Yeah, were you one of those people that liked that Greek mythology? My eldest son loved Greek mythology, along with dinosaurs. it came from Greek mythology, Hyacinthos. That's what they say, the Greek mythology, where it came from. He was a favorite of the sun god Apollo. Hyacinthus, or Hyacinthus, was fatally wounded by a flying disc. I don't think they meant a UFO, but he was fatally wounded by a flying disc, and a beautiful flower sprang up from the ground where his blood had fallen. And Apollo named the plant Hyacinth after his deceased friend. Okay. Interesting, sad, romantic, crazy story. But the hyacinth was named after Hyacinthus. There you go. Hyacinthus. Okay, so I don't read very well. I knew that a long time ago. I have a little dyslexia. Words look funny sometimes to me. Anyway, my entire family has all sorts of messed up males. Both of my sons are colorblind. All right. So is my grandfather, I believe. Which ancient flowering tree evolved before bees existed? Now, I didn't know that there was a time before bees existed. I thought bees existed forever, but apparently not. And they're giving us three choices: magnolia, dogwood, or cherry blossom. Now, I love a magnolia tree. I also love dogwood, as I've said. Cherry blossoms, you know what cherries are good for? Cherries are good for if you have gout. If you eat lots of cherries, it kind of helps you get rid of the pain of gout. Apparently, it attacks the acid that builds up in your system that gives you gout. And I, in the past, had terrific gout problems. I have a terrific doctor who prescribed a medicine that took care of it like it was nobody's business. And I haven't had gout in probably 5 years, ever since I started taking this medicine. And I'm very thankful, because it is a very, very painful malady. Okay, here's the answer. Magnolias are truly ancient. Some varieties have been found in fossils dating back to 95 million years ago, and many others date back to 20 million years. So that's a long time ago. Apparently there weren't bees 95 million years ago. I had no idea. Because they came into existence before bees, magnolias have tough flowers and leaves to withstand damage from beetles, which did the pollinating back then. Beetles did the pollinating. They kind of roamed around the tree and carried the pollen on their little hind legs, and they did the job of bees. And, you know, we kind of ran into a situation a few years back where we were having a lot of bee die-off, and I understand. Now, I take this from Chris. I take this information from Scott, and you know, sometimes we can count on Scott, sometimes we can't. Isn't that right, Abby? Anyway, Scott says that our bees are coming back, and I like to hear that, because we need, if we don't have pollination, we don't have food. If we don't have food, we don't have us. That would be even worse than the coronavirus, not having food. All right, here's another question. We've got about 10 minutes left, 9 minutes left to go in today's show. You're listening to a show that has kind of changed from its original. We no longer are taking, trying to sell people's tchotchkes. We're just trying to give a little information out and maybe make a smile. I'm not the most humorous person in the world, but I hope I can make you smile a little bit during this kind of tough time for our world. Native Americans use this flowering plant as an antiseptic to treat wounds. Now, one of the answers is not the one I thought it was going to be. One of the answers I'm going to give to you, it isn't alum. And I really thought alum would be on there, but it's not alum. Maybe this particular plant is related to that. The aloe, I've used that for sunburn. You know, you break off a leaf and squeeze it on your sunburn. It does seem to help. Well, anyway, there are three. Let me give you the choices again. Or I don't think I have given you the choices. Here are the choices. Alum, spirea, or wood anemone. Alum, spirea, or wood anemone. All right. I'm going to give you the answer pretty quick as we're getting close to the end of the show here. Wood anemone. Let's see what it says about that. Only 27% of the people who took this test got that right. I don't think I even know what that is, but let me read it. Wood anemone is a natural healer, and many herbalists use it. The roots have anesthetic properties and are often used to make a cleansing wash to put in cuts and wounds. Native Americans also made a tea from this root. What root was not used for tea? And that relieved headaches and dizziness. I have a lot of friends who have both of those maladies. You might want to stock up for a cure, for a cure-all plant, it says, and that's all I'm going to say about that. It was wood anemone. But I'll guarantee you that an aloe will also heal some wounds and also calm the heat on sunburn. Now, you shouldn't go out and get sunburned anymore. Remember, that's not good for you. You can get skin cancer from it. You can get all sorts of bad stuff from having too much sun. All right? All right. Here's another question about some plants. Why do jardinias inspire romance? Well, it doesn't for me, but I'm sure it does for other people. But it asks, why do jardinias inspire romance? Here are three answers to that. They smell good. They stand for secret love. And they are aphrodisiacs when eaten. I wouldn't eat. I'm not going to eat any more plants. I don't know whether that's the answer or not. We'll find out here in a minute or so. But Roses, they say, smell good, and that would inspire romance. I don't like the smell of roses. I don't have a good smeller. Ask my wife. She tells me all the time, she asks me, do you smell that? No, I don't smell that. She smells the slightest odor on me when I come in. Well, here we got a caller. Let's see if this caller can answer the question.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Okay, when you were talking about the willow bark tea.
No, he didn't say willow bark. He said wood anemone.
Wood anemone.
Wood anemone.
It's willow bark tea, and it's actually the first forms of aspirin or salicylic acid.
Is that right?
Yes, it is a pain.
What is that other name for it?
It's called salicylic acid.
Okay.
Is what it makes when you make willow bark tea, and it's one of the old-fashioned pain remedies. That has from the Indians.
Willow bark tea, huh?
Yes, you take any type of willow, preferably black willow.
Okay.
But you boil it and make a tea from it.
Uh-huh.
It's bitter as all get out, just like an aspirin.
Ooh.
But it relieves the pain and the swelling.
Now, where did you learn that?
Pardon?
Where did you learn that? Is that a old family remedy that you had, or did you just happen to look it up?
Well, it's in the old medication, the homeopathic or whatever the heck you call that.
Yeah,
it's in but one it's of those. Also my family used it because we are American Indian descendants. So grandma did it all the time.
It's amazing the intelligence that sometimes we lose by not following up on what our great grandparents knew, isn't it? But that was interesting information you pass along to us.
And you were talking about the dogwoods.
Yeah.
They are roughly Columbus and south. They actually have on 23. They advertise a dogwood festival.
Really?
It's down around Chillicothe.
Okay.
I don't know the name of the town right off the top of my head, but I've seen the signs for it. They actually have a festival about this time of year every year.
They also have a festival down south in Ohio called the Moonshine Festival.
Well, yeah.
They have festivals for everything.
Oh, yeah. But when you drive down 35 through southern Ohio, I mean, the hills are just beautiful with the dogwoods and the red buds.
Spring and fall are gorgeous down there, and I lived in Athens, and we traveled across the southern part of the state to go to when my kids were high school athletes, to all their games down there, and you are absolutely right. It's beautiful down there in the spring and fall.
Well, you just, if you can look out across the clear areas, you can just see the waves of color.
Yep. Yeah, you sure can.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's spring or fall. It's just beautiful. But
I love southern Ohio.
Well, that's where we're originally from.
Okay.
So
all right.
Little bits and pieces of useless information out there. So.
That's what we trade in right here on WWGH. Thanks for calling in. And
we listen all the time to
great.
That bits of useless. We learn stuff, too. So.
All right. Well, you're one of our 10,000 listeners, we understand.
Yes, I heard that. Well, you have a good day. Stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
All
everybody,
right, bye.
Stay safe. All right. Great great answer, and it's good to know that sort of thing. I had no idea. I am not going to boil myself some tea out of that. That sounds terrible. I was never a very good medicine taker. Even though I had three doctors in my family, I really hated taking medicine. Well, let me give you the last answer here. And the question was, why do gardenias inspire romance? Okay, did they smell good? Yeah, I guess. Are they an aphrodisiac when eaten? Don't do that. And they stand for secret love. Ooh, my goodness. Gardenias mean I love you in secret. And it's very, there was a song back in the 80s. I won't go into that. Not in the 80s, in the 60s. And it's a very good luck to give them to a man.
unless he is already attached. Yes, don't do that. And there is a plant to calm angry girlfriends and wives. That's that plant. 36% of the people got that right. Well, we're about done, so you have yourself a good day, and thanks for listening to WWGH. This is Glenn Coble saying goodbye.
Place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention,